will say that there are not any others, and that we will come together now and have our chiming of the hour and our prelude, and we will come back for our call to worship, which is page 333, just the first verse of that hymn. Let us hear our chiming.
Okay, number 333 are on the board. Please stand while we sing. I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing. First verse. I'm gonna sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm gonna sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm gonna sing when the Spirit says sing. And obey the Spirit of the Lord.
Good. And now, Heavenly Father, allow us in our worship to sing and to proclaim and to obey. Let us hear those words in our soul and our heart. Let us know that you are calling us to do so. And let us in this time find the power and the spirit that causes us to sing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hymn 332, Spirit of Faith Come Down. Very next page. Remain standing for the Apostles' Creed, which is page 881 in your United Methodist hymn book. Page 881. Let us unite this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. We'd ask that you would join us in this time of prayer. I have a note that Mary Ann is in Park West Hospital, so I'd want you to know that and put those on your prayer list as well as ours here at the church. So be aware of her being there. Are there other prayer requests that we would have at this time? Y'all are quiet this morning. I'm going to come out there, I can tell right now, and get y'all moving. We can do that in a bit. If not, let us pray together. As we read the Apostles' Creed, and we say we believe in God the Father Almighty, and we repeat and say in Jesus Christ, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are not just words, O God, but those are our beliefs, our faith statement to you, to ourselves, and to the world. We have this faith and belief in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In that faith belief, we find the changing of our soul by truly believing and having that faith. We find within ourselves the passion of worship, the strength of belief and witness, and the joy of our salvation. We find in it the power that changes us and moves us and makes us one with God. And we find in it a praying for each other. We do lift Mary Ann up and that you would be with her and bless with her as she is in the hospital. Heal her and give her your strength and your compassion of love to reside in her soul and find that in that healing. And be with her family as they care for her, and be with her family that might need care themselves. Open ourselves up to each other. Let us pray for each other and for our lives and our family together. Let us lift up ourselves and have faith in the one that gives us that strength and that hope. And let us hear the voice of God speaking to us in all of our prayers. And on this day, O Lord, we pray for the church. Not just Rockwood United Methodist Church, because we know that we need your prayers and your strength, but for the church as whole across our nation and across our world. Let us, in the midst of our struggles with each other and our struggles with ourselves, let us put you at the center of each of those struggles. Let us put you at the center of everything that we say and do. Let us believe in you in faith in a way that changes us. So as we pray for healing, let us give you thanks for the healing before it happens. As we pray for peace, let us give you thanks for peace before it occurs. And as we pray for strength, let us give thanks to you for strength before we have it. May we find in that strength and that peace your love and your caring. Now this morning, as each of us have come here and shown our faith by worshiping, let us take that faith to the next level and to the next place. Let us honor you with it and let us find you in it. And let us now listen for your response to us, and let us react and do what you call us to do. And in doing so, we would ask you that you allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Let us pray together. And now may the gift of your Son move us to give ourselves to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 452, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Let us stand, let us continue standing and sing together. Now you rewind my way to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Let us hear God's word. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Oh, that the grace of this scripture would be lived out and changed and moved within each of our souls. May God bless the reading of God's holy word, and may we see it in our faith this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let me ask you a question. When's the last time you read all of Hebrews chapter 11? Have you ever read all of Hebrews chapter 11? Amen? I hope that was a yes from everybody. Because what we're going to do is we're going to spend time in this chapter. We took chapter 10 and we looked at it, and in chapter 10, our thought, our best way of what we were trying to do is take 5 weeks and look at how the writer, the author of Hebrews, attempted to change the culture of the church, which was the New Testament church. And we took last week and we went to homecoming. By the way, y'all missed a lot of good food and a lot of good time down at Pleasant Hill. We enjoyed our homecoming tremendously. It was great fun to be with them, as it always is, and they can make more food out of 25 people than most people can make out of 100, and so we ate way too much, and they are no pitchers. I wouldn't let them take any. But we took the time over that 5 weeks to look at culture change, and then if you watch the online sermon, and if you listen to Samantha's sermon, by the way, I hope all of y'all enjoyed Samantha, and I want to thank her being here with us last week. She's fabulous. Everybody I've talked to so far said next time I'm gone to invite her, I'll try to do that when that happens. I won't be gone unless something happens to after Christmas, but still, next time I'm gone, we'll invite her to come, see if she has the ability to be with us. But what happens is, after they finish chapter 10, and he does all that work to change culture, he then moves into chapter 11. And chapter 11 is, for lack of a better way of putting this, a roll call for the Old Testament in faith. So So what's going to happen over the next few weeks? In fact, if I did everything in chapter 11, I would not be finished to three Sundays after Christmas. So we're not going to do everything in chapter 11, but there's a ton in here. It goes back and it looks at the stories of the Old Testament. And yet we read them in Hebrews and then we reference back to the stories themselves. So a lot of y'all over the next few weeks will see Hebrews chapter 11 verses whatever, and then it'll have a second set of scripture, which will be the Old Testament reading for that week. So I'll give you, for instance, before we launch into this morning, next week when we pick up at verse 4, it says this: by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. And then we're going to walk into why that's that way. We're going to start talking about what that faith issue is from the story of the Old Testament. So you're going to be moving back and forth between this and the Old Testament, trying to learn what those faith issues were that pointed to Jesus coming or gave faith for them to do the things they needed to do. So we're going to go back and forth and look at all those different things. But this morning, as we look at this, we begin to watch and see how God gives us an understanding of faith in the beginning of this. Faith is the guarantee of blessings we hope for. Let me ask y'all a question. What blessings are you hoping for? You got any? Good health? See, she knows to talk. She's not afraid. She's been around me years. Good health. Everybody good with that? Health for your family. Good health for your family. What else? What are that you're seeking? The guaranteed of blessings. What is it? Somebody else speak? I got time. Do what? Peace. Just for you or the whole world? Okay. It's okay, just be for you. I mean, it's fine. And so you might not be having a good time at home. I don't know. So, I mean, peace. And so peace for the whole world. Think about it. What are the blessings you hope for? Some people say and believe fully that we shouldn't ask for blessings. But the fact is we should, and there's a guarantee of blessings in this scripture. Now, you got to ask for them. You got to believe. But there's this guarantee of things that is setting out there. If you read the beginning, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. There's an assurance of what's hoped for. Now think about that. How many of us take the thought process of hope for and just think it's hope? Now there's nothing wrong with hope. Hope's a good thing. But how many of us have ever said, I hope it's going to happen that way. I hope I'm going to be in heaven. I hope I'm saved. Think of the process of this. There's this hoping, and yet we don't accept the guarantee of what's been promised. There's this guaranteeing of hope through faith. If you looked at the bulletin, the sermon that the day's title is Faith Is, with an exclamation point. Faith is the proof of the unseen. Now I'm going to work with you now for a minute. I want you to think through some things. So this morning, in this sanctuary, how many of y'all believe God is here? See? Where's God at? Do what? Everywhere and in here. I don't want to leave out. A lot of time we talk about everywhere, and then we don't put in here too. And so God is everywhere, right? Now, is God here, or is the Holy Spirit here, or are they both the same? They're the same. So the Holy Spirit's here, coming through Jesus Christ when he walked on the face of the earth, giving the gift of Counselor, Redeemer, the one who leads us to God, all present and accounted for in this room with us right now. Really? I don't know. Maybe it's the old Baptist in me from the first 20 years of my life. Maybe it's the fact that I went to the seminary that was quite loud instead of quiet. I don't know what it is, but it seems like if I knew God was in me, I'd be more excited about it. It seemed like I'd have a, and you don't have to run up and down the aisles and jump. I mean, my mama ran up and down the aisles and jumped when I was a kid. It was great watching. I only to be outdone by my mama, who could jump higher than she could till she got older. I mean, it was just that. They ran the aisles and shouted. We were good old shouting Baptists as a kid. Y'all remember those? Any of y'all been to shouting Baptist services when they run up and down the aisles and shout, jump the pews? Y'all remember those, right? I mean, I still remember the day that Brother Frank, who was our pastor until I was born, raised Baptist, Brother Frank, he was so fired up, and after knee surgery, I'm not going to do this, but he was so fired up that one Sunday morning he was preaching about God's presence, and the pulpit was about this high, and we had what was called a mourner's bench instead of an altar rail sitting here, and it ran the whole length of the building of the church from one end to the other. Just barely could walk by on each side, and he took a leap and jumped over the mourner's bench and landed on the floor and went running down the aisle shouting about God's presence. That's what I grew up in. Then I became Methodist. It got quieter. And then I went to seminary, and it got louder. Then I came back, and it got, anyway. Then I went to Resurrection, it got louder. And then I came back, and it got quieter. And it doesn't have to be loud. You know, I'm a great believer in contemplative worship, where that would scare y'all. But it would be an hour where we came in, the music played quietly, and we had a verse on the screen, and the whole hour all we did was sit and pray and contemplate the Word of God that was on the screen. I would like that. Not every Sunday, but I would like that. So it can be both, but in your soul, in your very essence, in your being, there should be, in faith, a burning. John Wesley put it, I felt my heart strangely warmed. There should be this sizzle inside. And what I mean by that is, when you have no doubt about something, inside of your very essence of who you are, there is this glow, this no doubt, this is how it's going to unfold. This is how God's going to make it happen. And faith says, this is how it's going to work, that God does. Now, if you watch this text and you watch this reading and you look at it, there's an understanding of creation. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. John 1:1 and following works at this for us. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. There's a creativeness from God. Now, I want you to hear what I'm about to say very carefully, because I don't want you to get it confused. Here's the problem I have with creation. You ready? We all think it happened over 7 days and God sat down and quit. And yes, God created, and on the seventh day he rested. Did you ever wonder what happened on the eighth day? You think God said, well, yeah, it's pretty good, Georgia. Liked it. Worked out. Yeah, I think I'm done. So God just kind of goes, well, let's see how it turns out. Don't move it. Let's see how it works. Let's see how things go. So a lot of people believe that God created it, said, put it in the motion, said, have fun. I'll be back at Jesus' death and resurrection, and then I'll come back at resurrection when I come back to bring the church home. at rapture, and after that I'm just going to hang. Not coming back. And yet we got three people walking with Moses. We got transfigurations. We got all these different things going on. We got Abraham trying to figure out what to do. We got all these different occurrences. Like, God didn't forget us. God didn't just leave us in motion. God actually participates. God creates. When I say to you this is a living Bible, what I'm trying to say to you is, if we take the words and think they happened 2,000 years ago or plus, and they were for that time and they have nothing really to live into today, then we miss the whole point of the Scriptures. They're living words. They're active words. They're continual words. They give us what we need to move forward. We cannot be afraid of the fact that God works God's miracles today, because we look at this and we understand this. The ancestors received approval because they believed that God created the world, and it was by the word of God, and it spoke into being. God didn't stop. He rested on the eighth day and went back to work. Have you ever noticed how we humans continue to discover things? We find new ways of doing things. We find different animals we've never seen before. We see creation being happening and creatures being formed that we've never looked at before. We watch all these different things happen. We see the stars, we see new planets, and we see all these different things that we've never seen through our telescope before. And then we'll say, well, it's because our stuff is better. Do you ever think that God's still having a blast hanging stars and creating stuff? Do you ever think it's not done? We even have the audacity and the good to say, God's not finished with me yet. God's still creating in me a kind heart, a loving spirit, a change the way I see things, an openness to different things that God's giving. We are continually being created. A long time ago, tempt to say in a land far, far away and make her think it's Star Wars. A long time ago, we did math differently than they do math today. Have y'all ever worked on the new math? It used to be 1 plus 1 equaled 2. Now 1 plus, taking this number and bringing it down, working over here to this figure and taking it across, working on these things and bringing them over, and you get all those done, so they equal 3, to they equal 4, to they equal 2, to they come down to equal 1, then back equal 2. They get the same answer, but there's 5 steps. No wonder they can't get it done on time, Gracie. It's like all these different steps to get there to the same answer. Well, why the different steps? Well, there's a new math. I don't understand it. I was a math major. I don't get it. For y'all who teach math, blessings. It's beyond me at this point. If you asked me that I could do pass a test for the seventh grader can pass in math, the answer would be no. And at one time, I was a college math major. It's created. It's changed. If you don't believe creation is still happening, look in the mirror. You call it change. See, God continues to create. We understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. So that what? The invisible becomes visible. The invisible becomes visible. Have you ever thought about that? I've told this story on more than one occasion, but I think it's valid for this point. My first appointment was the Sneedville Circuit. Sneedville, Shiloh, Union, and the Independence Church. There was the four churches. So you think with three I got a lot. We had four. One of them was on Saturday night. That was the charge. In the Sneeble Church, we had a family of Mennonites join because there were no Mennonites in that area at that time. So now I'm preaching to Mennonites. Lovely folk. No electricity, no running water pump in their house. And they would invite us to come eat with them. You ever get invited to a Mennonite house to eat? Let me respond to you real quickly. Go. Food's great. So we go to their house, and we drive to their driveway begins, but we can't get up the driveway. So the family hikes up the half mile to the house. Now like this. Me and Mary Lynn, Lindsay, our oldest, was about 12 months. Year old, maybe 11 months, somewhere in there. And we're toting her up with all the stuff that goes with a 12-month-old. We get to the house. Keith is his name. His wife is there. She's cooking on a potbelly stove. House was about 418 degrees. That's why they have seats outside. And I say, where's Keith? And he said, Keith is out in the greenhouse, the fourth one, as you walk back that way, it's about another half mile. So I hike back. Is he alone? Yeah, nobody's out there with him. So I come up to the door, and there's two voices speaking. Being polite, raised to be a polite person that my family raised, I stood outside the door, not wanting to interrupt the conversation, whomever was in there. And finally, Keith says, David, it's okay. God doesn't care if you come inside. And I walk in. Nobody's in the room with him, but there's Keith, me, and a voice coming from heaven having a conversation with Keith during his prayer time. And Keith looks at me and said, God said it's okay, because I'm hearing God talk. You'll get past this after you learn it's all right for God to speak. The invisible in that greenhouse speaking to the visible. The invisible changing lives of the visible. Now some of you will have a hard time believing God speaks like that. Pray more. You might be shocked what you hear. Be open to God's movement. Be open to creation and be open to faith. I want to finish here. Sermon title is Faith Is with an exclamation point. Faith is, and my hope is you fill in the blank for you. For me, faith is believing without seeing. You've heard me pray more than once. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do for us. And I give you thanks before it happens. Because seeing it done isn't faith, that's sight. Believing in it before it happens is faith. That's a hard thing for us. We are more like the people in Jesus' time they want to admit that we are, when they would say, just show us a sign. And Jesus would say, this wicked generation has to have a sign for everything. When the very essence is the Son of God standing in front of them. What more do they need? And for us, the sign is that in your soul, the Holy Spirit, God, resides in you if you have faith in Christ. What more of a sign could you have than that? Faith for me then is believing in the miracle before it happens. So my final question for you is, and I'm not asking you to answer this, and I'm asking you to contemplate it. What is the miracle you're waiting on that you haven't quite found the faith to believe it's going to happen. Faith is. Let us pray together. Faith is you, O Lord. Faith is you in all that we say and do. Faith is you in every aspect of our life. Faith is simply you. It's a miracle that's going to happen that we haven't been sure that we believe in. It's the miracle that might not happen the way we want it to, but will happen another way. It is faith. Help us, O Lord, to set aside our doubt and replace it with faith. We offer this prayer and all that we've sung and said in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be with us this day. And if we need to come and pray, O Lord, this altar is open. Lead us to pray as you want us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, which in many ways is not closing, but a call for you to go and believe, is the Hymn of Promise, which is page 707. I'd ask you to stand and sing with us. We will sing all three verses of the Hymn of Promise. Never make it through that song. It was sung at my daddy's funeral, at my mama's funeral, and as we stood by a graveside of our grandbaby that I did the funeral for, we sung it there. In the end is our beginning. It is a song of faith and hope. It teaches us way more than we ever could imagine. So I invite you to go from this place in faith and in hope. May God's blessings be upon each of you. May the power of the Holy Spirit overwhelm you. And may the love of God grant us each grace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.